What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of It Could Be Better. My name is Giannis Pappas.
I'm Nate.
That's Nate, and we're joined, as always, by the one and only Chris Laker.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, if we sound a little different today, it's because we're trying out Nate's idea. He came back from Iraq recently with a whole bunch of new electronic equipment and also new ideas about how to make electronic equipment work better. We got a sock on the mic.
You should see the Al-Qaeda videos they do. The sound is unreal.
He actually took one of his socks from his bag and he put it over our Snowball mic, which we record these fine podcasts with. Because we apologize last episode. We are recording this in the office and we do have an echo. So you will hear an echo, but you heard me and Chris fine in the last episode. You didn't hear the Southerner because he was kicking back like he is right now in his chair with his back to the microphone.
No, my face is to it.
Yeah, but you just turned into it. Yeah, and you got
to
get involved.
I know what
you
I'm going
to You got
to
be involved in the podcast.
I like to be comfortable.
I know you do like to be comfortable. So we're glad to be back, man. We missed Nate. He was gone for 10 days. And
I knew a podcast would not be recorded. I said record a podcast. We should do one to keep it going.
Well, me and Chris were busy. We had our Montreal audition, so we were all wrapped up with that. And then we had to decompress.
I was wrapped up with going to Iraq, and I still did a podcast.
You still did a podcast? You didn't do a podcast?
No.
Dude, you and Joe List start a new podcast now? Is this your fifth? You have five podcasts now?
I have five podcasts. The other one's pretty decent followings.
You got the Moral Victory?
The Moral Victory. It's going to come back.
It's going to go. How many episodes did you guys get through?
I think like two.
It's a real moral victory there. I think Frankie's got another podcast too.
Yeah. Wait. Sports podcast.
We should fucking call and heckle his podcast when he's shooting it or something.
Yeah. I even do fantasy football, but that's... I don't know. That seems weird. Why is he starting to... Like, he's getting pretty cocky.
We're going to call him later and bust his balls. He's not here.
Trying to... yeah.
Here's the thing. We plan these podcasts like just on the day.
Yeah.
Right? And he tries to make us feel guilty. Today he even texted me. He's like, I told you, can I please get a couple days notice? I'm like, dude, no, we don't even give each other a couple days notice. Why are you breaking my balls?
We found out today.
Today we figured it out.
Today
and then he gets all pissed. Like, guys, I'd like a couple days notice. It's like, you know what? We don't even give each other a couple days notice. So why would
it's
we give you, Frankie?
Living your dreams. That's why once you start living your dreams, you have no notices. But can't I got to go out of the country again Thursday.
Did you give Frankie a couple days notice that you're leaving?
I'm not trying to tell him, you know. Frankie, if you listen to this, I got to leave Thursday.
Isn't that funny? Frankie, if you listen to our podcast.
Yeah. I will be back Wednesday.
That's the thing, Frankie. We can't have you here every time or else we'd have one less listener. So we have to have you out there sometimes as a ringer. He alternates between a producer and a listener.
He hasn't. When's the last time we've had Frankie on? It's been a while.
Like two podcasts ago.
Yeah,
he was on.
Yeah,
he gets brought up enough.
Yeah, he's fine. He's a crowd favorite. Rusty loves him. He loves when we're all here. Right, Rusty. I can talk directly to Rusty.
How creepy is that? If you're like a dude listening to a podcast, and it's just dudes talking to one guy.
Yeah, just one guy. This podcast is called "It Could Be Better." Too Rusty.
This is the highest, most craziest technological just phone call. It's basically a phone call. This is how I wish I could talk to my wife. I just record stuff on, and then she cannot talk back. And then I'll just every morning get up and go, did you listen to the podcast that I sent you?
That has all the information of what I'm going to be doing today. Yeah, that's perfect.
She checks my calendar
for,
like, that's how she knows what I'm doing.
She does, huh?
To plan stuff, yeah.
Because you're not a very communicative person. You come home, you hit the couch. You like the couch?
Communicative?
Yeah, you're not communicative.
That's a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
No way that's a word.
That's a word.
Dude, that is not a word. Communicative?
Yeah. Chris, can you back me up on that?
Communicative.
Communicative. That does sound a little weird.
Are you fucking... You don't know that word either?
I don't know.
You seem like a smart guy. You don't know the word communicative? You're not being communicative?
You seem like a very confident, cocky guy that throws out fake words and just goes nuts
about
it.
Are you trying to tell me right now you think the word communicative is a fake word?
I'm not trying to rip people off selling posters for $40 with
I'm going to be selling those posters for $10.
New England, you are in for a treat.
What they're talking about, guys.
Limited edition.
What they're talking about is Jesse and I made some Mr. Pano's posters because I'm doing two shows in the New England area, one in Providence and one in Boston. So I will be selling autographed Mr. Pano's posters for $10 after the show.
Will you be These dressed guys up think as I'm Mr. Pano's?
People. No, I'm not dressing up as Mr.
Pano's. Oh, because he doesn't have the... All right, that's what's the greatest part about it, is you go, no, I'm not an animal. I've got dignity. I'm not going to dress up like Mr. Pano's for these animals, but I will make them buy an...
First of all, whoever called them animals?
I don't know. That's what
I never called them
history?
Animals. History?
History? Oh, I don't know. I'm joking.
No, I think it's a really good deal. People will be excited to buy them. I told you, I watched Donnell sell his posters for that. People just come. They, you know, people just, it's a novelty.
What was
know?
His posters?
What did he sell? They think, you know, what if I get mega famous? They got a poster with my autograph on it. It's great.
What was his poster?
Ashy Larry.
Oh, yeah, they're comparable. Ashy Larry versus.
To the people who are going to be at this show, they're pretty big Pano's fans.
He's a celebrity. I mean, Donnell is borderline a celebrity.
Yeah.
Ashy Larry, that one of the biggest shows was on television.
Yeah.
Character
well,
on that.
The times are changing. These people are very big Mr. Pano's fans. Have you ever seen pictures? People fucking want to take pictures of me.
I get it.
Yeah. I did a show on Wednesday at Uber Lounge. It was insane. There was about 200 fucking Maurice fans there. I had to take like 30 pictures. They were just pulling me around taking pictures everywhere. It's crazy. It's the internet, man. The internet is the new TV. Right, Nate?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'm not ripping anybody off, is what we're trying to say.
No, it's now, not. What were we I'm talking joking. About? It's a good...
Yeah. What were we talking about before we got sidetracked there? Oh, yeah. The sock over the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we were.
Yeah, we moved on, and now I'm fucking completely lost.
I was saying something about the calendar.
Oh, the word communicative.
Oh, communicative.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked it up on dictionary.
Of course it's a word. There. It's a...
It's a ridiculous
word. It's
the
way you conjugate the word communication. Are you being communicative? You're not being communicative, Nate. Your wife's never said that?
No, because I'll punch her right in the face. She doesn't use words to make me feel bad about myself.
What do we got here?
Communicative.
Yeah, there you go.
Communicative.
No, don't fucking pronounce it like the robot.
Well, now I know what the word is.
Communicative.
Communicative.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, what do you mean, okay? It's a
word. No, that's how it's spelled phonetically. So I'm looking at it. It's... Communicative, yeah.
Yeah, communicative. You're not being communicative.
Sound fucked up to me.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't know that word.
What? I'm not like.
I think he would.
I'm not like. I don't read.
You're a pretty smart guy. You had a job, like a real job. You had a career.
Yeah, you know how easy it is to get those gigs?
Not easy, man. You gotta be good at math and shit.
No, you don't.
No?
No, it's all. What? It's Excel does math. I don't have to do math.
I don't know how to do any of that shit.
Yeah,
you have a career to fall back on if shit doesn't work out.
Not me anymore. And Nate. I blew that up, dude. My fallback would be the fucking Apple Store, like every other comic in this town.
The Apple Store.
Oh, I can't go back anyway. I don't want to.
Yeah. So your wife finds out your schedule based on your calendar.
She'll look at it to like...
She needs to get an award. First of all, we are doing the Chris Laker Awards. All right, you know, a lot of people come, a lot of comics come up to me and tell me they listen to this. So I want
you always
to
say that. I don't think anyone.
I swear
does.
To God. So spread the word. We are doing the Chris Laker Awards.
I think
at
they
bar
just
want to
get up on bar four.
We will be picking
and
a day.
Maybe they come up to you and go,
"Hey, I like your podcast.
I like your podcast better." Something.
Yeah. When can I get up on your show? We will be doing the Chris Laker Awards.
I tell
Chris
people
has signed on.
I tell people I do a podcast and you should hear my two guests. Giannis Papas and Chris Laker. And my co-host Frank Gallo.
Now, we're thinking, I was just thinking for the Chris Laker Awards, we should nominate your wife for something. Like most dedicated comedian wife.
She's in it to
She's
win it.
She's in it all the way. All the way.
I'm just a lottery ticket to her. A lottery ticket that she's having to pay a lot of money for.
That's a pretty... You should try to maybe develop. That's a pretty funny concept. That she checks your schedule. You communicate with your calendar more than you do with her.
The alimony she's going to get out of you.
Oh, yeah. What if you became like a huge sitcom star? You know?
That would be great.
Be a pretty expensive divorce.
I wouldn't be doing this.
I don't think you and Laura are ever going to get divorced. You don't think so?
No.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever happen.
I don't know, man.
You don't put much thought into it either way, huh?
Just riding along, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, she's got to at least wait till you get famous before she fucking splits.
Yeah, yeah, she's in it too deep.
She knows, if you get that sitcom, dude, as soon as you get a sign of fat contract,
she's gone. She had to look up Montreal. She's so done with your bullshit.
She
looked up Montreal New Faces to see if it was a big deal. Like, I think it's a big deal, so I'm going to hang in a little bit longer.
Yeah. Now, wow, man. Excuse me. Yeah. So does she have friends in New York now? How long has she been in New York with you? Four years?
4 years.
And in 4 years, she hasn't made many friends because she's...
She just works.
Does she got friends she can hang out with? You're hardly in town.
With. Yeah. People that she works with. I mean, Laura's not... She's not even the... She doesn't go out like a ton, so it's not like, you know... I think it's just different when you're... Once you're married and you're older, it's not like you're young and trying to go grab friends everywhere. So she hangs out with some people. She's starting to work out with like some people that she works with.
What do you mean? Like she goes to the gym with them and stuff?
Yeah. And then there's some other girl that's in like with music and stuff that she'd hang out with like Carla, yeah. You know, Jay's wife.
Are they still friends, Carla? Or you guys said falling out?
Not really falling out, but they live all the way out in like Long Island now. So.
Now, on the night of your special, we were all hanging out. We weren't even getting crazy. And it was one of a very funny moment for me is when, because Laura was hanging out with us. She seemed to be in a great mood.
Yeah.
And then you disappeared at the bar. I think it was me, Laker, Louis Katz. Louis Katz's his friend, a couple other cats. What's his name, that other comic that was hanging there?
Graham?
No, Graham wasn't there.
I think Graham was there.
I think he was there.
No, Graham wasn't there at that point. Vidar, something.
Oh, Gary Veeder.
Gary Veeder, he was there. A couple of us were just hanging. Yeah. I was in a great mood. It was your special night, you know. We just watched your special at CB's at the bar. She hung out. She seemed to be in a good mood. She got a cake. So we all had a piece of cake to watch Nate's special. It was great. A lot of people showed up at the bar. And then we went to another bar afterwards.
Yeah.
Laura came with us. And we got a round of beers. And then Nate disappears to the bar and comes back with one of those football helmet. Huge, what would you call those?
It's like it's a beer tower.
Yeah,
it's like
a beer tower.
Yeah, it's your own like mini draft. It's like basically like pulling, it's like grabbing a keg and just going, hey, you mind if I just take this over to my table?
Yeah. You come back with I thought it was hysterical, holding a huge beer tower and like 8 cups and just putting the cups down and you just start pouring everybody beer. And then she just got into a really horrible mood and then she stormed out or something. And then you went out, handled it. You were like, don't worry about it. We just go.
Yeah.
Came back in. She sat down. And then we just kept partying. Why did she get upset? Because you were in party mode? You were like fucking partying too hard?
Well, it seems like a lot of times with her, if we go out drinking or something, she's cool up to like normal, like the normal hours.
Right, like 2-3.
2-3.
Once you come back with a beer tower at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, then it's like, all right, what are we really doing?
Right.
And then, and you question it. The next morning, I question, yeah, what were we doing?
Yeah, but you don't have a plan. You just saw a beer tower, and you're like, I got to get that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was your thought process when you saw that beer tower? You're like, I'm getting that thing.
Yeah, it was going to be awesome. Because
you were so excited when you brought it back to the table.
Yeah. Well, it's fun stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and then the whole night.
Was it the first one that bothered or the second one?
Yeah. It was
I even forgot that you went back twice.
Yeah.
So was it the first one or the second one?
It's probably the second one. It was like the first one she thought was just a phase. And then the second one came out and it was like, oh, this is a reoccurring thing.
And it might have also bothered that girl that sat down and who I was just like fucking with a little bit.
Yeah.
She might have been like, all right, this is getting a little too much.
Look, you know, this would be good to talk about. So... I'm doing this as a joke now, so I gotta say that just so it did. But on Facebook, like, cause I'm an idiot, I had this kid text me, or he put on my Facebook profile, hey Nate, text me your number, and he put his number on there. So in my head, I read it on my phone, and I was thinking it was a comic for some reason, so I texted him, and it's just a fan. It's just like a dude.
And he just wants your phone number?
He just wanted to be able to text me, so.
Yeah.
Which he has, and I don't know if he listens to this. He was a nice kid. But he, it was just funny. He's like, when he texted me, it was actually pretty funny. It was the only time I ever felt somewhat like, because you know what? You don't really think of yourself as like a celebrity, like, not a celebrity at all. But like, you don't even think that like people could even be fans of you. Like, you think it's like, you almost look at everybody like your friend. So, I text him. I started texting him, and then he texts me. He's like, "Well, how do I know this is Nate? I've been getting texts all night." So people have been texting this kid all night, pretending to be me. So that made me feel good that people.
Why? Because he posted it on the wall.
Because he posted it on my wall.
Yeah, that's funny.
So and then
could have been like a bunch of other comics just being dicks.
Yeah. So I was like, so then I text him, and he texted me like, I don't know, he's texted me a few times.
How did you prove to him that it was you?
Did you put a
southern drawl in the text?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man.
Yeah. Well, now, then I had to prove it at that point. So that's what I get myself into is like, and I'm fine with texting this kid, but it's like, I don't know, he's 18 years old. Like, you know, what are we going to talk about?
Isn't your birthday coming up?
Yeah.
How soon, right?
March 25th.
Yeah, 10 days. 10 yeah. days.
I'll be at CB's.
CB's?
All weekend.
All right.
We're doing there's the cabin show for your birthday.
Oh, yeah, the 24th.
Oh, boy.
I have another show.
Get partied up on one of those nights.
Yeah.
I love when Nate goes like this. This is how he starts tonight. He always goes, hey, man, I didn't drive in.
Yeah.
That's always the indication.
Are you on cabin that night?
I don't know. I don't think so, no. I'll be there.
Me, Soder.
Yeah. It's I'll my friends.
There. So what the fuck? What the fuck, dude?
I don't know. She just booked me on it. She booked me on it a long time ago. And I just told her, I go, oh, my birthday's the next day. And then, so another one, this just happened, a guy, Facebook chatted me, you know, so I had that, so he's Facebook, he goes, hey man, what's up? And I was like, oh, hey, like, I think I know him, but I don't know if I know him, but I can't like just tell people I don't know him. Like, that's why if someone even texts me from a number and they go, Nate, what's up? I feel bad going, hey.
Everybody does that, though. I jump
in the conversation until it's like too far to where I can't go, I don't know who
well,
you are.
Well, that's stupid. Yes. You should always say this, hey, I lost my phone.
I even feel weird doing that.
Right.
Because I don't want them to feel bad.
Right.
So I just would rather go with it and fake it the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So then this guy starts doing that and he starts like texting me. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, if we're ever in LA at the same time, you need to come over. We have a nice house party. And I was like, all right, man, house party, whatever. And he's like, yeah, it's cool, blah, blah, blah. We keep talking a little bit more. And he's like, yeah, it's real discreet stuff. And I'm like, all right, I don't know. It seems weird. It's like discreet.
That's some Craigslist shit right there.
Yeah, that's what it gets to. Yeah. It gets to, eventually, he goes, have you ever been with couples before?
Whoa! Yeah. So how did he get your number?
He didn't get my number. This was on the Facebook chat. Like the little thing that pops up.
Oh.
Is this a dude that is a fan of your...
No.
How did he give a shit?
I mean, he's a
friend. It could have been some spam or something.
No. It's not spam.
So it went all the way to the couple shit?
Yeah.
And then where'd you go? What'd you say?
It was just, he goes, you ever been in the couples? It's like, I don't know. No. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I just feel uncomfortable. And then he's like, all right, man, we'll just keep in touch, dude. Let me know. I was like, yeah, man. All right.
Now, which dude was this?
Just a guy. Not this same guy that got my number.
Right. It was just some dude you're friends with on Facebook.
Yes.
So you got a swap? Is that what you guys...
No, I don't know what he wants.
He wants you to bang his wife, probably.
Yeah, him, his wife.
Yeah.
So I got to do it, but I'm a man of my word.
They built a fan base.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I get myself into with...
Going too far with the friendship?
Just instead...
You shouldn't lie. You should tell him straight off the bat, hey, man, I don't know who you are. I'm Nate Bargatze. I'm a big fan. I don't really even handle my own fan page. Act as if. Haven't you seen the movie Wall Street?
Yeah.
You're too down. You're too much of a fan. You're too much. What would they call that? Fan friendly comedian.
Well, some of them are good Christian folks, and some are up to some other ideas.
I bet you a lot of those fine Christian folks are up to ideas like that as well. That happens all over the place.
Yeah.
I've been to some small towns. You'd be surprised how many dudes want you to beg their wife. There's not a lot to do in small towns. So if somebody comes in, you know, it's exciting for them to watch you bang their wife.
So for $15, you get an autographed Mr. Pano's poster. And if you pay the extra $5, Mr. Panos will bang your wife.
I'll bang your wife.
In character.
In character. In character. Hello, baby.
Hey, hello, like baby.
Take it. Hello. Oh, man. So, yeah. I will be, this one. When are we putting this up?
Tomorrow.
I'll be in Boston and Providence Saturday and Monday night. Monday's at Providence University, I believe. Some college out there. I got to look at the details. And then Saturday's a big fundraiser for a great cause. So check my Facebook page if you're in the area and you want to come see me. This is Giannis Pappas talking to you right now. So, jokes aside, man, we're glad to have Nate back from Iraq in one piece. And unfortunately, while he was gone, we lost a comedian, someone we all knew. I mean, I knew the guy. This is the first time in a while somebody died who I knew. You knew him well, eh?
I knew him really well.
Mike DiStefano. It's been the talk. Everyone's been posting blogs and Facebook comments about it. It's very sad. He was a very, very talented and special person and comedian, and very, very touching in his
friend. He was a friend,
man. Yeah. And he died suddenly.
I had a weird thing. I was like looking at his number in my phone under Mikey D. That's all he ever was Mikey. I mean, he's Mike DiStefano.
Yeah.
And you knew his name, but he was just always Mikey. You know, you just called Mikey him Mikey D.
Did you call them to listen to the voicemail message?
No.
That's too freaky, right?
Yeah. I don't. You know, you don't need to be getting. That's even weird. Like if they even had the phone or something. Like you don't want to be. Like you know. It was insane. Like to hear that, because you know what's funny.
You were away too, so that makes it weirder, right?
I was over there. What's funny?
Make you feel like, oh god, the whole world's changing or something.
Well, you know, we describe it as someone is saying, like, because it's hidden closer, that it's almost like, because I was in Iraq in this scenario of like thinking it's like mortars being shot at you, where the first one's Geraldo, where it's kind of like, well, that's kind of close, but I didn't really know Geraldo. You know, I was with him like the 2 weeks before, so that made it weird.
Right.
But then this one, it's Mikey D. And you're like, wow, that one...
That's close to home.
That's close to home.
Me and him shot the same pilot on Sunday. We were, you know... I was talking to Andy Haynes on Thursday. He did my monthly show over here. And he was like, yeah, I was in the scene with Mikey all day. He was throwing me up against the wall over and over again for this take. It was hours before he died, man.
I was supposed to be on a show with him tomorrow.
Where?
Stand-up.
Fucking crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, and just... A great comic, man.
Just a great
original
comic.
Fucking, an awesome dude to like talk to. Like always cool to everybody.
Such a humble guy, man.
You know, and like you know, I mean, a little bit ahead of at least me, but like kind of remember him from when I started, and he was still kind of before he really had any.
He's a guy who would. He's not a guy who's going to pretend like he doesn't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows who you are. He's a humble, down to earth guy. He grew up on the streets. He's been through a lot of shit. He doesn't play that fucking high post bullshit. He never did that. I never felt like he was talking down to me or anything like that.
No, never like that. No, always.
Never. He's just a nice guy, and he was an incredible comedian. Very honest and just original as shit, and just an amazing comic. And it's such a loss.
His career was just really taking off.
I mean, it was possible. He was like, that's what.
And his one-man really show was exceptional.
Yeah. That's what sucked. It was all... You're seeing it all come together for him, because it's like I remember him. I knew him when we first moved here. So, even when he was like, I remember you know when he did Live at Gotham. I remember he did Conan. Like everything was all just kind of like you see it all coming together. I remember when he got past at the Cellar, and stuff. And it was just everything was like coming together and stuff. And then he got on Last Comic Standing.
He got Conan like, too.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. We got Conan, and then when he did Last Comic Standing, you're like, it was good enough that you're like, all right, a lot of people at least saw who he was.
Yeah,
you know, like it was good that he at least got that, because it was like almost like if he wouldn't have got that, then he'd be like, all right, now no one even knows. But a lot of people got to know who he was that wouldn't have.
Right.
So
supposedly he said a lot of strange, very stuff before. Like some people believe he might have known. Because he said stuff like after his last one-man show, he said, I've said everything I've wanted to say. There's a lot of incidents that I had dinner with the Cringe guys late last night after Bar 4. And, you know, they were working closely with him because they were producing his one-man show. And they said he said a bunch of stuff. They don't think he did, but it's just weird when you look back that he said stuff, you know, that seemed to be harbingers of his death. You know, seemed to be, you know, foretelling it. You know,
it's so crazy.
You know, in some way, you got to think, hey, this is a guy who had HIV. You know, He was living very unhealthily. You could tell by the way his
well, he just quit smoking though.
He just quit smoking, but you know he was really starting to get overweight and stuff. And you know maybe he and you know when your body when he had no viral activity, but it's a strange thing. I mean, your body develops the antibodies. That's how you know that the virus is there. So on some level, his body had been fighting that disease since he's had it for 20 years. So you never know. Maybe just and then all the drugs he's took in his life, the heroin and the coke, fucks with your heart. Maybe it just got to a point where his heart gave out. Maybe it wasn't a heart attack. Maybe it was just straight cardiac arrest where his heart just stopped in his sleep because it had enough.
There's all sorts of shit, man. Yeah. I mean, your ticker goes, man. It goes.
It goes.
I mean, it, not saying he didn't put it under any stress.
I mean, he did.
He did. But it could have. It's like, man, when it comes down to it, man, even us as artists, dude, there's people that were president that no one even fucking remembers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, all you can do is just kind of is try to live the life you want to live and while you got your time here and do right by other people, which is like what he did, man. And he lived a good life. This was his last, you know, he's been doing comedy for probably like 15 years, something like that, yeah. Close to that. And fucking and having like a really good life and doing good for people, man. He was very active in recovery and helping other recovering addicts and sending a good message and just being a you know a great comic and you know what else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, he lived more in his 44 years than a lot of people who live in 80 or 90. You know, but it's just fucking it for me. I just, dude, I haven't been able to wrap my head around it. It just freaked me the fuck out. It's just like you like. You know, what's it all for? Where is he now? What happened?
It
just ends abruptly out of nowhere, you know?
But what's it all for if you go to fucking 102? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but it's like, you don't what's think it all, about that. Like, what do all these... What do all our goals just, mean? They don't mean nothing.
They mean nothing.
They mean nothing.
They mean nothing. It's all about just enjoying your time here. And that's like, doing comedy, it's
but
like...
you're enjoying your time here for what?
For what?
To have a kid?
To enjoy yourself till you die. Then you get to die. That's it, man. That's like why I don't give. That's why I never understand people. Like everybody worries about retirement or getting a house or whatever. It's like, dude, you're gonna die.
Right.
What everybody wants. No one wants to think about it. Like,
why do people fucking buy all this shit? It doesn't matter.
No, because that it fills a hole, man. And it's like what you do. I swear to God, I look at like the dude, what my life was almost, you know, for like that couple of years I was in the suburbs married, driving a hatchback to an office park, man, just a cog in the fucking machine. Those are motherfucking soldiers, man. Thankless fucking shit. Just keeping that fucking, just grinding. And it's all because, dude, hopefully you'll get to enjoy the last few years of your life after your dick doesn't work. That's all it's for, man. It's fucking sad. That's why I just, you know, it's like, you know, I'll ride out this shit however, man.
Hopefully you'll get to enjoy the few years after your dick doesn't work.
Dude, until then, all you got is that drive home. That's all you have. That little time you have between work and whatever the fucking bullshit awaits you at your house. and your basement. I'd love to talk about their fucking basements.
So now you've gotten out of that life. Yeah. So you really had a close brush with that
average
suburban life.
I wanted it.
Yeah.
I wanted it.
Because of the woman at the time. You loved
her. Well, it was a good thing.
You didn't know she was a backstabbing bitch.
Well, yeah. And also, man, I before I did comedy, I wanted to be like a filmmaker. I wanted to be a filmmaker. And
you
I
had
kinda,
dreams and you gave them up.
And I kind of, well, you know, I almost, they there just became this thing in me that was like, man, I just want to be like a normal dude. It just looked nice.
Yeah.
It looks easy. It's simple.
Yeah.
It's a simple fucking life. But it's, you know, it and if, you know, God bless those people that are fulfilled, man.
Thankless soldiers, huh?
Yeah, man. I mean, because, like, they're the reasons. Those are the people
I just break his chair. That'd be great.
Well, I you think about it. Man. It's like, those are the people I respect, man, because everybody lived like me. The fucking society would collapse. You can't, not everybody can sleep till fucking 1 in the afternoon and just, you know. and pace around the apartment trying to think of fucking hooker jokes and shit.
So what are those people living out there?
They just, because they...
What's their life about?
No, you know what happened, man?
Do they just get to go to heaven?
It happens to you. It just happens to you, right? And one day you realize, this is what my life became. You're like, I guess this is what I fucking do now, right?
Right.
And you're just like, I'm done doing shit. Maybe I'll pick up a fucking hobby, you know, or whatever.
But
and
how horrible is that? Because those people die too. So not only did they not live their dream or have fun while they were here, they're also going to die. So it's a double whammy. Is that why everyone's on drugs?
Maybe
and
they
stuff?
Maybe they live the dream. People can have kids and be normal and have lives. It's not crazy.
Yeah, not everyone can be an artist, Chris.
That's what I just said, man. Yeah. I'm not downing them.
You're just saying thank God for those words.
Yeah, I'm saying good, man. I'm not saying my brother's got a family and job, and you know, and he's a happy dude, you know, and he seems to be happy with that.
Are you happy living in Crown Heights?
Fuck yeah!
You're in your 30s, like me.
Yeah.
You don't live in a white neighborhood anymore. You used to have a joke that said, "I live in a white neighborhood, in New York. I'm a certain age, I deserve it." So you've moved back. You now live in a predominantly black neighborhood.
Yeah.
You shacked up in your girl's house. You don't have your names on the bills, right?
No.
You're living check to check. You own nothing.
It's like you...
Are you happy, Chris?
Yeah, happy as ever been in my life, man. It's the best.
Yeah. I have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring.
Dude, bill collectors call me every fucking day. I laugh.
What do you do?
I don't pick up the phone. Fuck them.
Almost like you handed your trophy back. You had a trophy for, like, you did it. White neighborhood, and you just gave it back.
Well, even that, I still have that apartment.
You're living like a guy right now who's found out that he's got 2 years to live.
Yeah. Wow.
And is that the secret? Just fucking live like you have 2 years to live? Because then you'll do everything you want?
Jesus, I might. You know, who knows?
Now, the sex life, slowed down a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Are you starting to see the pattern emerge, Chris Licker pattern emerging again? Where now are you guys just sitting there watching DVDs?
Not DVD watching. Not DVDs.
On a little small laptop?
No. We got a nice television set.
Well, why did the sex slow down?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, this is why.
I mean, it was so enthusiastic.
Because she wasn't working then. And then it was on. I mean, it's still good. It's just not as often.
Right. And she's not as experimental. Are we not plugging her website enough? Is it our fault? JokesNovak.com. See if we can get you another rusty trombone. Are those jazz playing days over?
I haven't got a rusty trombone. Maybe I should go for some anal this week.
Yeah, why don't you go for it? And we can report back next week.
I say I got to do it for the podcast.
It's a segment we're going to do now. It's a new segment called Will Chris Be Getting a Rusty Trombone This Week?
No, I'm going to go.
We're going to make a little jazz music in the house.
I'm going for the anal.
Are you going to go for the anal?
I'm thinking about it.
Have you done the anal yet?
No.
You haven't done the anal?
Have not.
So she has licked your asshole. She's licked your asshole, but she's not let you fuck her, which every girl does?
Fuck her in the ass?
Every girlfriend I've had at some point, you fuck them in the
ass.
I've
never done it.
You've never fucked a girl in the ass?
Nope.
You have never done anal?
Nope.
Jesus Christ, are you American?
They a lot of young chicks, man. They usually don't get cool with that till later.
Have you done the anal? You don't want to talk about it. I mean, you and your wife keep that private, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you guys aren't having sex yet.
Can this podcast not become your act?
My chick hasn't done anal either.
Your chick's never done anal?
No.
It's crazy.
I was the first. Nate,
you know what anal is, right? We kind of explained to Nate.
No, I know what
anal
it is. I mean,
you've read about it and stuff? Huh? You heard about it? Read about it?
I heard stories. A guy Facebook chatting me wants me to do it to him.
So you do it to his wife. Oh, man. Chris, that surprises me. That surprises me that you've never done anything.
I never really go for it.
You haven't even paid one of the
It's not even like I honestly, like here's the thing. I'm like a pretty straight up dude when it comes to sex. Like I'll do whatever. Like nothing weirds me out when I have an erection. Like whatever goes down, that's like when I end up living in the suburbs. Like, I guess I do this shit now. Want me to pee on you? Fuck it. Yeah, I guess I'm the guy that does that.
So you've done a lot of crazy stuff, but you've never.
I've never done a crazy. But I'm just saying, like I go with the thing. But I'm like a pretty normal dude when it comes. Like I never I never get sick of sex to the point of like, I gotta do free. Some dudes get like, they say they get numb from porn or fucking. It's like, dude, every time I have sex, I'm just happy to be fucking.
Now, have you, have you tried role play? Role play is amazing. Where you just pretend different scenarios, different people.
Yeah, we've done that a little bit.
Oh, that's great.
And sometimes I do.
I'm not that good of an actor.
But I'll do
Nate,
it.
Hey, I know that's you. Come on. No, my name's Roger, goddamn.
What do you mean?
I do that in my head sometimes. I'll pretend that I'll pretend that I just met her.
Yeah.
Or like, sometimes she'll be like just walking around her underwear. I'll be like, oh, I'm just like, she's just a friend in my head.
Yeah. Well, you don't let her in on it?
No, I'll tell her that I did it.
Yeah, she should. You guys should do it together.
I don't like to act.
Well, it's fun though.
But I feel like you'd be really good because you got all these characters, like you, Dan Soder, like a bunch of different voices.
Yeah, but, hey baby,
Dan Soder. I feel like you can be like, what era do you want to have sex in?
Yeah,
because he'll just 1930s.
Welcome to 25. Now. So you're gonna try this week to do anal. So this is gonna be a little segment for us here. We're gonna see if Chris can get a little anal this week. Don't forget.
No,
the people at home are gonna be waiting.
I'll explain it as a segment.
Yeah,
yeah. We have like floating segments too. Like we just have different
ones.
Here's a new segment that we're gonna do today, and we won't do ever again.
Nate's furious is just we haven't done that in like months. Because nothing really makes you furious. I think the career is going too good for you right now.
No, it's not. The loss to CMT thing.
Oh, man. Nate lost something.
Yeah.
Fucking, what do you think about that, Chris? Finally, the kid didn't get a break.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all downhill from here.
No walk-on Reba?
No walk-on roll at Reba. The dude that won, this guy, Cy Munson, is a really funny dude, though.
Oh, fuck him.
And he was really funny, though. And
That's a train. That is a train.
Cy Munson. He's got a pitcher's first name and a catcher's last name. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I don't trust him either.
But thank you to everybody that did vote. Because a lot of, you know, Amy and the Greens.
Are you done doing contests now?
Voted 1,000 times. Huh?
Are you done?
I've done online voting. I'm done. But next year when they do the half hour, like try to get in the top 10. I would like to try to get in the top 20. Just do that once.
Yeah.
So there will be one more coming around, but I won't go as hard. I don't really care. Online voting, I just don't care because it's absurd, and I haven't really done a ton of online voting either.
Well, there's going to be online voting for the Chris Laker Award for CMT's next big comedy.
Online voting for the Laker Awards. We have online voting. But we have no vote button. They really can't.
No, it's just CMT's next big comic, and I got you, Keith, and the Cy Munson.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
See what happens.
See if you can win both.
If
you can unify the titles there, Cy Munson. I don't know.
There you go. Get excited. The Chris Laker Awards will be happening in Bar 4 on a date to be announced.
Or we do it on our show. Do it on our podcast show.
I think we should do it at Bar 4 because it's already planned. So we're going to do it at Bar 4. We got Rich wearing.
I will probably not be there then.
Why? You don't want?
I'm joking.
Yeah, we're going to do it to a date that will be announced coming up very soon, next couple months. It's very exciting. It's we'll say it's an It Could Be Better presents the Chris Laker Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Finally, a real award show where truth and justice and objectivity can reign. Yeah. Don't you think? Don't you think? No scenes, no favorites, no nepotism.
No, it's
straight truth and justice.
It's a place for white men to be awarded by one of their own. And I think that's I think it's about time.
Yeah, we'll give you a little teaser for some of the categories we got here. One of the categories we got is best character, and
you don't give them away.
Don't give them away. Okay, all right. Don't give them a teaser. Nate just, I got the call I got the call from the dugout. We're not going to give you any taste of it.
Marisa will be one of the characters.
She's nominated.
CMT's Next Big Comics is a new category I just came up with.
CMT's Next Big Comics. Then we also have another category we have is, right, Best Non-White Comic. We have that, right? Is that one?
I guess.
There's a couple very good categories.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. So finally, an award show that, like I said, it'll be an honest and truthful and objective and award show as you can get. We're really excited about that.
We're here trying to defend truth and justice. So all these award shows out there that are giving out awards to people that don't deserve it, we're not going to be doing that.
You know, it's not about other award shows. It's they could there's other award shows that award other things, and this is one that's truly, I think it's totally non-biased because it's all determined by me.
There you go. So hey, listen, if you want to get nominated for a Laker, you better be nice to Chris Laker because he's going to be coming up with the nominations. Me and Nate will be there. We'll be hosting. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have different presenters.
I think I want to host it.
If no, it's you got to get you winning the Lifetime Achievement Award. You don't host your own award show.
No, I think I want
to. You can't host your own award show, Chris. I think I want to
host my own award show.
Well, yeah. Too bad you can't.
I can't?
No, yeah. It's my idea to do the award show, and you can't.
Well, then have the Honors Awards. It's my award show.
No, but that's the point. You can't do. Does the Academy Award host the Academy Awards? No.
Academy Awards.
Well,
I think these awards need to be presented in a certain light that only I can provide because I'm the one coming up with the
awards. No, we're going to have different presenters. Other comics are going to come dressed up and present. They're going to present them on your behalf.
Well, I'm going to have to do a little something up front.
Yeah, you sit up on stage.
Yeah, and you got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
You give the award to everybody.
Yeah, and you're going to do it. You're winning the Lifetime Achievement Award. Aren't you allotting yourself the Lifetime Achievement Award?
Well, the committee, the Academy, is awarding the Lifetime Achievement Award to me.
To you.
Yeah. You know,
so you gotta give a whole fucking speech at the end. It's like fucking only you, Robert Redford. There's only a couple of guys who get Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Yeah,
you know,
I think you can give the award to everybody, and everybody has to get a picture with you shaking their hand and holding
it. Picture, that's perfect. Picture. Oh, it's gonna be so good. We're gonna announce on our next podcast when the date's gonna be. We're planning it right now. Very much looking forward to it.
How about you only take pictures with the losers? You will not associate yourself with the actual winners.
That could be funny too.
I'll say this: all the people nominated should be honored, but should not be. That honored if they lose.
Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be amazing. Nate, how was Iraq, man?
It was great.
Any good stories coming out of there? You got some amazing Boise headphones that you're pretty proud of.
Yeah, they were like $300 headphones. Got $32.
Now, did you get them off a truck in the base?
Like a Haji shop, as they say. And then it's, you know, local Iraqis. And they just set up and sell like, DVD series and stuff like that for real cheap.
Where do they get the shit from?
It all falls off a truck, which doesn't make sense because there really is not like a Walmart there. Like, you know, like if something falls off a truck here, you're like, oh, they robbed a truck going to Walmart. Like, I don't know where they would be delivering Bose headphones in Iraq to the regular Iraqi people. Like, I don't know.
Right.
You know.
Now, did you leave the base? Now, the base is huge, right? Green zone is huge.
Yeah, but it's closing down. They're all out in December. We went over to the U.S. Embassy. We went over to one base that they had. And on my Facebook, I think Joe put a bunch of the pictures up. They have some buildings that are like just blown at. I mean, just I got a picture of like where a rocket went into the top of a building, and it's not even it's tiny.
Is the place looking nicer now? Is it looking like it's
no? I mean,
they're building nothing.
Nothing can ever look nice there because it's all sand, and it's just sandstorms. So it's just like a constant. You feel dirty constantly because of sand. Nothing against where anything. Just nothing would ever be. I mean, maybe, I guess a long time ago, it used to be really, like, they used to have, grass and stuff, but now it's, like, all gone.
Hot there all the time. Was it hot
No, it wasn't. I wore pants the whole, like, I mean, it was, like, maybe during the day, one time it was getting up to, like, 75, maybe, but at night it'd be, like, 55 degrees. You'd wear a jacket, you know, it was kind of cold. I mean, it snows.
No sand just blowing on you all the time?
Yeah, and they have sand. So some days it was real clear, and those days were just amazing. And then some days it was just sand. It's just, you know what? It's the magic lighting, though. The footage I have and the pictures, Iraq would be a good place to go shoot because of all the dust storms. You know what is the magic hours? Like,
yeah,
what?
Magic hours.
It looks like that constantly because there's just sand everywhere.
How did you learn that? That's a real shooting thing.
Because of you.
I've told you about magic hours?
Yeah, but y'all just say it when we're shooting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because I come over at noon and we don't start shooting until the magic hour. But, so when you do it, it looks like that constantly.
Yeah.
So it would be a great place to, you know.
So you had a good time. You were over there with Joe List. Our listeners know who Joe List is. He's Joe List. He's the most famous shitter in the whole comedy scene.
Yeah. Joe List, very, very funny. Made me very funny. Very funny. If you ever get a hangout with Joe, it's...
You guys couldn't drink any beers over there, huh?
No.
No beers.
But it was a good time. And then when we hit Germany. We went to Germany. We had a 5-hour layover in Frankfurt, Germany.
So you got to see a little bit of Europe.
We left.
What'd you think?
Would not go back to Frankfurt, which I've heard, like, that's just... Frankfurt's, like, very,
but
like,
but you didn't get far from the airport in Frankfurt.
No, I mean, we're about 20 minutes away. Train ride. Went to downtown Frankfurt.
Yeah?
And then, like, yeah. And, like, but it's very industrial. It's, like, or, like, a lot of regular buildings and stuff. So, like, if you go to Germany, don't go to Frankfurt. And I was reading stuff about it.
Berlin is the shit.
Yeah. Frankfurt's a hub, so a lot of people have layovers there. So, everything I read, they were like, look, Frankfurt's just kind of whatever if you go to it. Like,
look at you getting all worldly using the word hub, going down to Dantang. Yeah, you just fucking sounded worldly to me. You know what the magic hour is? You learned a new word, communicative. You've been to Frankfurt now. When you actually were inclined to go to downtown Frankfurt and check it out. You're like, hey, Joe. Let's go down and see.
I always go check out stuff. I don't ever go.
You're fucking getting
whatever
worldly.
You think
you got
it
some
is.
Boys, you went to an Iraqi
I
shop.
Always, yes. I always go do. Whenever, no
got
matter what town glasses. I go to, I go. Like, I remember going to. I was in Dallas when I opened for Angela. We were there. I was there one night, and I got there at like 2. But I went and saw, you know, JFK, like all that stuff. I was exhausted, but I was like, yeah.
You went and saw JFK?
Yeah, well, I saw, like, where the shooting...
Where it happened.
Yeah. Right. And,
I swear, man, you never know if a fucking motherfucker could see him. He could still be alive. You never know. It could start a conspiracy. A lot of people think Tupac's alive. You said, I went and saw JFK, so I just wanted to clarify. That you went to where he was shot. You went to Dealey Plaza.
Yeah.
Went to the bookstore. Yeah. You have any theories on that? You think that he was... think it was Lee Harvey Oswald that did it? Whatever the official story is, you buy, right?
Yep.
You just go with the official
story?
It's
probably going to be... probably Lee Harvey Oswald. And then Jack Ruby shot him.
Shot him. Why did he shoot him to silence him? Why do you think he did that?
I don't know, but that's some weird thing. Yeah, maybe there's something going on. What does it matter?
I would just love to do a segment with you called History. Be like, you know, some things happened. And then he shot him. You know, they had something going on. And then, you know, things got weird.
The way I look at it, I would never be important enough to be assassinated, so I don't care.
You never know. You got fans, like, trying to contact you on Facebook now.
But they're not going to try to assassinate me.
You never know. People may not like fucking hearing about that you got your wife a stove. And feminists might get really pissed. Got your wife a stove for her birthday. Well, could piss off some feminists. You never know. Right?
I guess, you know, stuff could go down.
All right. So, again, man, a really terrible loss, Mike DiStefano. It just freaked me out all week. And please go watch his stuff. His one-man show that he was running now, it was taped every night. That was another thing. He was like, just tape it every night. You're like, why is everyone tape it? It's like people think he had some sort of premonition or who knows. But so at some point you'll be able to see that somewhere. Just go watch his stuff, man. When he died, it was actually kind of touching and great. Me and my dad, I just turned my dad on to him. We went and watched all his videos, like everything I could find on YouTube. My dad was cracking up, and it was just nice to watch him. You know, he's someone I didn't know very well, but... he touched me deeply in the little that I did know him, and every interaction I had with him, he made such a big impact on me. I think that says it all about him. He was really, really a huge personality, and he's very helpful. Like Chris said, he would help out people. He would go and perform for people in recovery, and he was somebody who wanted to touch people with his comedy. He wasn't up there just doing jokes. He was doing jokes about his life and things that were not otherwise funny, which is what I thought made him so great in the short time that he was doing comedy, you know? Was that he would take these horrible experiences, his wife's death, and all these stories that happened in his life, and he would make light of them. He'd find some comedy in them. So that was quite unique what he was doing. So you're going to be missed, man. It's like fucking freaks me out.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking freaky. It's really freaky. But so go watch his stuff, please. Get familiar with him just to sort of, so his spirit can move on in you as it will in everybody else who's seen him. Because he's one of those guys who just, you know, if you met him, he kind of rubbed off a little bit on you. Something about him kind of rubbed off, his story and everything. So, I think that's about our podcast right now. I don't want to end it on a downer.
Yeah, well, you did.
Do you want me to give you a little buffer between that?
Or can you follow that? Can you follow Mikey DiStefano Memorial? He would appreciate it. He would love.
Yeah,
this
no, man, no. I don't know anybody that didn't respect and think he was respect him and think he was a great comic, and you know, yeah, it's a loss to comedy.
It is,
you know, because he had a lot of great stuff coming, but
yeah,
you know, yeah, so you know, sucks.
Yeah, you deal with everything good, man. How have you dealt with it? It's fucking shaking me up, and I didn't even know him that well. You deal with everything good. I mean, I'm not saying you let it in, you're affected by it, but you just deal with everything. I admire the way you deal with shit.
I know, but then I start worrying about it, because then I worry that I might not have emotions.
You don't feel anything?
And that's freaking... No.
Are you a sociopath?
No, I'm not even a sociopath. I don't know, man. Like, I feel everything.
That's
like,
one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I may not have emotions.
I wonder if I do. Like, I just... Like,
I think you just, I think you're like, you know, you're kind of like tough guy, like kind of tough. Like when you're in a competition and stuff, you don't get nervous. You don't get too nervous, right? You don't get too fucking freaked out. You enjoy it.
I don't know. I don't get nervous. I don't know if I get nervous. Like you get nervous as you like normal do. I think you just don't have to deal with it. I think you're always nervous as
so
nervous.
So how come you don't think you have emotions? What does that mean?
I don't know. My wife doesn't think I have emotions.
Well, but that's understandable.
And
well, you shouldn't show weakness to her.
I gotta be the alpha male.
Is that what your wife? Is that what Laura said to you? She said, "Nate, you have no emotions."
She says it a lot. Yeah.
She does. Because you just don't show any emotion.
Yeah, there's just nothing there.
I've seen you be affectionate.
No, I'm being affectionate. No, I can do all that stuff. It's like, I don't know, man. It's, I don't know. I mean, when I heard about it, I don't know. It's just kind of like crazy.
So you don't feel bad for anybody or anything? Like when
I feel terrible for a lot of stuff. Like, I worry
so
about
people.
So you
have emotions then?
But it's not like, it is emotions where I feel for stuff, but, like, I'm not going to weep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it'll make me mad if I see people cry with some stuff. Like,
it'll make you mad?
I get mad, like, if I see, like, people on American Idol crying. Like, if their dreams got shattered. Even though I understand it, and I even kind of like that they're crying. Like, I like just a kid being 15 or 16 or 18 or 20 and just being like, I'm just as everything. But I there's a little bit of part of me that it gets really upset, going like, really? Dude?
Now, where does that come from? Is your mother emotional?
I don't know.
No, dude, shouldn't cry.
Like,
Nobody means your dad.
I don't know. Everybody's fine. Everybody's great.
That's not what I'm asking. I know they're great, but do your parents show emotion?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But yeah, my mom cries a lot. Mom will cry.
And how about your dad?
Dudes
though, my dad.
You know what? My dad. No, he doesn't. But my dad does a lot of, like, I like seeing, like, my dad do a lot of stuff. Like, my dad.
So you're just like the bad. You're just a bad seed then. Your brother's
some
great.
Didn't take.
Yeah, you're
and
just
then,
a bad
seed. See, my dad.
But I'm very emotional. My family. I would be.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No. Yeah. That's when you cry. I see my dad cry when his mother died. You know, that's when you're supposed to cry.
Right.
And he didn't blubber. He just had some tears coming out.
Right.
You know? He was like, you know.
But you're very cold. You're a very cold human being. Scared that you're a little bit of a too. You're saying you're scared. You're a little too cold of a human being.
Maybe, you know. Maybe it's like it's not cold where I could just sit there and like I don't care about if
Laker died tomorrow. Would you just be like, all right, we just need another. We need another guy to fill in.
I'd still want to do this weekly and stay on a. You know, I think we owe our fan that.
We owe our fan. We owe our fan that.
No, I don't know, man. It's just weird. It's like...
Well, why does it worry you? Why does it trouble you? What do you mean? You said you were worried about it.
It doesn't trouble me. It's just like... I don't know. When I heard about it, like, I don't know. It's like shocking. And then, I don't know. I don't think I think about stuff too long. I think that's what the... Like, any time I try to... Even time, like, you know, because I'll lay in bed at night and be like, you know, like, it's crazy to think about Mikey D died. So you're like, it's just weird that he's not there ever. Like, you can't ever...
Ever seen
grab
him?
Yeah. So like I'll think about that, but then I stop immediately.
And where do you go back to? Just Vandy?
No, whatever. Something else. Maybe I throw all my emotion in Vandy.
It really becomes about you, though. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Is when people get... It's because if it's not like a family member, it's like Mike DiStefano to me. It's like a loss to comedy. And it's a loss to. And he's a good dude, but it's not to make it about me and be like, well, man, that's freaky that people die. It's like, yeah, people fucking die.
Yeah, I know it's about me. I can't handle it. I just can't handle that. It freaks me the fuck out. Freaks me the fuck out that it's like. Holy shit, this is all for nothing.
I mean,
but you can't think somebody again, who's you're got to leave your house.
Yeah, and no, that happens to people sometimes too. That'll happen to me.
I think thinking about it's all for nothing makes it all better, man.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's not all for nothing, though. I don't think it's.
You believe in an afterlife.
Yeah.
So you think Mikey's.
But it shouldn't be all for nothing, even if you're living here. Like, whatever it is, you should be touch someone's life.
Yeah.
So it's not all for nothing. No, you should change isn't. Someone's life.
It's not. It's not all for nothing, really. But it's not. You know, whatever you do, no matter how you could be the biggest star that there is right now, and let's say 30 years after you're gone, no one will fucking know you were here.
Yeah, people will just forget you.
Yeah, well, some, you know, but like unless you're like big, like Babe Ruth.
Yeah, there's so few icons that carry on to that. There was people when Babe Ruth around. There was people that were like crazy celebrities that you never even heard of.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, there was like tons. Yeah. You gotta have like some, you know.
Yeah, nobody thinks about Sid Caesar anymore.
So, yeah.
Sid Caesar was like the Jerry Seinfeld of his day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you say his name, you're gonna go, "Oh, Sid Caesar."
Pretty soon, you won't go.
The kids will have no
kids
idea.
Kids have no idea who Sid Caesar.
The only reason I know he is because I had an old as fuck like teacher in fifth grade that would talk about him.
My dad would talk about him.
And it's
so we will all be forgotten here.
Yeah.
One day, our existence,
but that's
everything
not
everything will be completely. But forgotten
is that what is that what creating art's even about, man? Is it about just living on, or is it just being? About expressing and creating and connecting with those people that get to hear it at that time, you know?
Yeah, it's about, I mean, that's, it's an impulse. It's a need for some reason.
It's just fucking fun, man. Yeah. And it's like, it's what makes us feel good. And, you know, luckily, you know, sometimes you can make money off it.
Now, before we get to your, I got a very important question. I'm very curious. Take me through your head. You're laying in bed there.
Yeah.
What goes through Nate's head? When you're laying down to try to go to sleep, where does it go? What will you think about? Just take me back to a night.
I can sometimes think about, like, you know, I think about dying sometimes.
So you do and think then, about some stuff.
Yeah, I'll think about it, then I stop.
Right away?
And then,
does
you
it
know,
scare you when you think about it? When you think about
yeah,
that?
Yeah. You have a fear there of just being like, oh, it's crazy. Like, yeah, like, I can almost, like, I could make myself cry if I, like, thought about, like, my family, like, not being there, like, easily, like, doing that. And I can get my emotions are all, like, I see my nieces and nephew, like, I can look at them, and it can, you know, and you, I don't know, it's like something that's there, but,
I just remember, like, this, something that's there. I start to feel
no,
something.
It's, no, I do, but, like, seeing them, like, I look at a picture of them, and it melts my heart.
Right.
And,
but what are the thoughts that go through you? Well, take us through a night. So you think about death, then where do you go? You go to Vandy? Vandy
No, a lot of jokes. It's a lot of jokes. That's what usually goes to my head. Like, and I'm just trying to stop that so I can try to go to sleep and not lay there for 4 hours.
Thinking about jokes. Do you ever think about memories? Do you ever think I have any good memories? Or you just straight jokes?
I don't think I have a good memory. Like, I don't think I remember, like I'm not good at remembering, like, what shows and, like, what, like.
There's no, like, special memories you hold in your head that you go back to that make you feel good when you think about them? Like having like movies in your head that like you can go back and watch your life. Good nights out. Fun shit.
No, I don't know, man.
You don't have any good memories at all?
Yeah, no, I have a ton of good memories, but I just can't.
You
just
have don't any, do like, them.
You just don't do memories. You don't do memories.
I don't do memories.
You have any like fantasy scenarios you run out in your head?
Yeah.
Like you're a soldier.
Yeah.
I can have fantasy. Like
I do. I do shit like
that.
I do a lot of criminal stuff.
You do?
Whenever I've taken a shower, I'm on the run.
You are, huh?
I'm like, I'm washing blood off me. and I broke into an apartment and I'm stealing clothes out of the closet.
Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you?
It's fun, man. In my head, not every time, but I do that. I have a lot of daydream shit go on in my head.
And then the girl comes home, which is your girlfriend, and that night you gotta tell you, you gotta fake that so you can get through that sex. You gotta go, oh God, someone broke in the room. I gotta rape this girl now. And then you, you know. All right,
let's call Frankie.
It's 1:30.
Yeah, let's call him. That's the perfect time to call him. It'd be great. Press pause.
Hold on.
This would be the perfect time. And we just pretend that we just
press record. We back on?
Yeah.
All right, we're calling Frankie right now, our producer, the banterer. And he's been having a lot of ideas lately about businesses he wants to start. So we're going to inquire as to some of his business ideas if he picks up. It's 1:30 in the morning right now. So we're calling him pretty late. He does have a family. But he's always on Facebook till like 3 or 4 in the morning. So anyway, that doesn't look like he's going to pick up. Wait, give it a little bit. You never know. Nothing?
Hey, it's Frank. I can't get the phone right now.
All right.
Leave a message?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much.
You
have a great day.
To leave a voice message, press 1.
Just leave the
message.
No, I don't want to do that.
If that's an American page, press 2 now. At the tone, please record your voice message.
It's good. This is good radio.
Good radio right now.
Hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Frankie. Your podcast guys, we're calling you. Me, Nate, and Lakes.
We wanted to have you on the podcast.
What are you doing? You sleeping?
Making cheesecake.
You're making cheesecake? We wanted to talk to you. We got some good business ideas for your cheesecake. So.
We're giving you your shot.
All right, let's get off with
that. All right.
We'll probably delete that.
Yeah. All right, so we've come to the end of the podcast. Glad to have Nate back from Iraq. Rest in peace, Mike DiStefano. And we're going to end this segment like we love to end this. Well, we're going to end this podcast, I should say, as you know. Let's try one more time. We're going to end this podcast like we like to end each and every one of our podcasts with a little segment we love to call Christ with Chris Laker.
All right. Well, I thought I was going to do the thing about dying and living in the suburbs, but and I might have done this one already, but fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm running out of shit. And I'm trying to polish up other stuff. It's a process. But I feel like people are really starting to look for racism to the point of, like, is Russell Crowe, like, A Beautiful Mind, looking for shit, like, and looking for messages from communists in the magazines. Black people can claim racism, all right, because there was that whole thing and the other shit. That's a fucking funny line. Fuck you guys. That's fucking hilarious. That whole thing, that's slavery. And the other shit, that's a, whoa, come on. But everybody else, like Indian people, I just mispronounced your name. Calm down. All right? Has America been that awful to the electrical engineering community? And what even worse is white people want to find racism because they have the fantasy of being the only, like, non-racist white person. That's like what they want more. They want to march on Selma. You know what I mean? And here's the thing: if you missed it, all right? Because if it was the '60s and racism was really, that was when racism was really popping off. I'd say early '60s. That was the man. If you really wanted to be the stand-up white guy, that was your time. You wouldn't have cared. You would have said, "What's this bus shit in the news?" And it gone back to worrying about, I guess, Martin Sheen at that point. I don't know. All right, that's it.
All right, that is it, everybody. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the Laker Awards, and we'll be back later.
Peace.
Bye.